In the midst of the Triduum, on Holy Saturday, today seems to be the company of our misery. Holy Saturday betrays a sort of ghostly silence, and in that silence, we can still hear the cries of the mob, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" We can still hear the wailing of the women of Jerusalem, the nails being driven into the hands of our Savior, and even the final cry of Christ, "It is finished." And now, just a day later, as the emotional and the spiritual overload begins to echo into the past, as we feel as if we've lost our bearings in this mystery, we seem to be left with one thing: the raw emptiness of Holy Saturday. In this vacuous, empty feeling, we may be tempted to think that all is lost. No doubt the disciples thought this. We need only look at doubting Thomas and his reaction to the resurrection, or even the words of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, who said, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." In such moments of uncertainty, of deafening silence, we must rest assured in He who is true to His word, and He who is truth Himself, and He who promised to be raised on the third day. As Catholics, our faith is founded on Christ and summarized in the creed that we pray each Sunday at Mass. And though we might be accustomed to pray the Nicene Creed, remember what we pray in the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day He rose again." Yes, we believe in Christ, the Son of God, born of a virgin, who was crucified and died just yesterday, who will rise tomorrow, and who today, on Holy Saturday, descended to the dead. In the empty silence of Holy Saturday, when it may seem that everything promised came to nothing, we must remember that God is still at work. The Messiah, even as His body lies in the tomb, even in this time when we don't see Him, when we are left reeling in the wake of the crucifixion, He does not rest. In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul reminds us of Christ's descent into hell. He says, "Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is He who also ascended, far above all the heavens." It's probably safe to assume that we are quite familiar with the many parts of Holy Week and the Triduum. It all begins with Christ's entrance into Jerusalem on Sunday, with the celebration of the Last Supper, the institution of the priesthood and the Eucharist on Holy Thursday, the crucifixion on Good Friday, the resurrection on Easter Sunday. But what of Holy Saturday? We may profess our faith in Christ's descent into hell on Holy Saturday, but what does that mean? In his spiritual summary of St. Thomas Aquinas' Summa Theologica, Dominican Father Walter Farrell writes this: "We are made for happiness. Every perfectly designed item of our sublime nature strains for that fulfillment which is happiness. Ignorance commits us to frustration. We have eager hearts pushed to the breaking point of all nature's demands for happiness. In a very real sense, there is a kind of knowledge of God buried deep in every man, as deep as his demand for this happiness. Frustration here is basic, soul-searing, catastrophic." Each of us is created for one thing: to share in God's divine life, to be known and to be loved by Him. And because we have been created in His image, we have been given the ability to know and to love him in return. This is in what our happiness consists, where we find fulfillment. And as we have been created for such a life, we have also been offered the means to live such a life. God desires all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth, Scripture tells us. In creating us, God wills that all human beings participate in the grace and in the divine life of Christ. And though some may reject this invitation, it is nonetheless offered. This invitation to divine life was not only a reality during the life of Christ and in after Christ's coming, but before him too. Every person who has ever existed, every person who will ever exist is created in this way and offered a share in God's life by the grace of Christ. And because of this, on Holy Saturday, while silence reigns on earth, Christ descends to the realms of hell to call forth those who died in his grace before his resurrection, before the gates of heaven were once again opened, to fulfill his promise of redemption. And what is more is that he does so in solidarity with those just souls awaiting his coming. His soul goes down to meet them. He, the good shepherd, goes to his flock. He runs to them like the father of the prodigal son. It's interesting to meditate on the effects of Christ's descent. St. Thomas considers how it is that Christ's victory over the grave is communicated to those in hell. To the damned, to those who resisted truth and grace in a willful and culpable manner, Christ did not descend to this state, nor is their decision against God and his laws reversed. Nevertheless, his presence in hell shows forth the glory of his victory to those souls who have rejected him. To those who have been saved but are still undergoing purification, the holy souls in purgatory, Christ comforts with the promise of heaven. And to those souls who died in the state of grace and friendship with God, yet still awaiting the completion of redemption, these souls receive the light of glory while they await just one more day for the gates of heaven to spring open. To all of the souls, whether damned, being purified, or those ready and waiting for heaven, Christ preaches, tradition tells us, the glory and the victory of his cross. He does not use a messenger or a sign, but comes himself. He does not appear in form, but as they are, as the incarnation would dictate, true God and true man. He comes into their presence. Even in the devastation of Holy Saturday, in the wake of the suffering and the death of our Lord, even in the confusion in our lives now, the brokenness of our past and our present, the lack of certainty about our future, we can rest confident in this. Christ became man for you. He took on human flesh. He became like us in all things but sin for you. He suffered and died for you because he loves you and desires you that much. His love and desire for souls is such that he would undergo all of this and then still descend into the realms of hell to fulfill the glory of his victory. In the 10th century, an anonymous English story was composed, recounting Christ's descent into hell. The story begins by recounting the empty tomb and the resurrection, and then, as a sort of aside, steps away and turns to the words of St. John the Baptist as he sees Christ coming towards him. In part, it goes like this: "But a host of angels came there in the hour before dawn. The best of companies surrounded the Savior's stronghold. The tomb was open. The prince's body received the breath of life. The earth shook. Inhabitants of hell laughed. The courageous young warrior awoke from the earth, The majestic one arose victorious and wise. John, the brave man, said to the inhabitants of hell, spoke laughing to the multitude about his kinsman's expedition, I firmly and truly expect that the Lord himself, the victorious Son of God, will see us out today. Then John saw the victorious Son of God coming to hell with royal majesty. Sad at heart, he then understood this expedition of God himself. He saw the doors of hell shining brightly, those doors which long before had been locked, enveloped in darkness. That warrior was joyful. There are two things that might stick out to us from this story. First, the laughter of those awaiting Christ in hell and the laughter of St. John the Baptist. And second, light shining on those doors in hell. Laughter in hell? Laughter on Holy Saturday? How strange. How out of place. It seems so suddenly that the cries of Good Friday and the initial silence of Holy Saturday are replaced by the laughter of the saints. And why not? Why should the saints contain their joy? How could they contain their joy? This isn't that laughter that comes after a joke or at an inappropriate moment, but the sort of laughter that comes from inexpressible joy, even laughter at the ridiculousness of Satan. We read in the prologue of the Gospel of John that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Indeed, even hell has no control over the light of Christ. And what place could be darker than hell? The doors of hell that once stood in darkness now shine but for a moment as Christ comes to rescue those souls who have awaited him. Laughter and light in hell, but for a moment. Perhaps this story has captured something true, a Holy Saturday prophecy of sorts. The laughter that filled the halls of hell, the light that shone on those locked doors foreshadow the light of the Paschal candle that will shine in the darkness of churches throughout the world at the great Easter Vigil. The laughter of the saints in waiting prefigure the bells that will ring and the voices that will cry out during the Gloria in just a few hours. The laughter and light in hell, these might be a strange thing to consider on such a solemn and silent day. Strange because perhaps we are still in the throes of the crucifixion. Strange because laughter and light seem to be the furthest thing from our minds and our hearts as Easter approaches, as our churches are closed, as people lay sick and dying, and as we are separated from our families, as our path ahead is unclear. No matter. Christ's descent into hell ought to be for us a great source of hope and consolation. Just as Christ's disciples were unable to witness his work as he descended into hell, we may find ourselves in a similar place, unable to see. Though we may not be invited to witness all the workings of God, we do know that the triumph of his cross, his grace, his strength, his love and his mercy and his justice never fail. The hope of the resurrection is what defines us as Christians, and the silence of Holy Saturday, of Christ's descent into hell, reminds us that even in our darkest hours, the light of Christ shines, and it will not be overcome. Though we may remain silent on this Holy Saturday, we can also prepare to laugh and rejoice with the saints in what is yet to come. A 16th century poem entitled The Harrowing of Hell beautifully recounts Christ's words to Adam as he encounters him on Holy Saturday. Peace to thee, Adam, my darling, and all thy offspring, that righteous were in earth living. From me you shall not sever, to bliss now I will bring you. There you shall be without end. Michael, lead these men singing to the joy that lasts forever. Even in the midst of the fearful and uncertain silence of Holy Saturday, even in the fear and uncertainty of these days in which we find ourselves, however angry or confused or unsure, if nothing else, we are promised one thing, just as those souls in hell: Christ himself. And though we wait for him on Holy Saturday, just as those souls and just as his disciples on earth are waiting, is different. For we know, without doubt, that he will rise on the third day.